This is the Talking Split Podcast.
Coaches, welcome to the Talking Split Podcast once again. I am Rob Calder, riding semi-solo for this one as we are going to get into a special guest on the podcast this week. Once again, coaches, if you are able to leave a rating, review, a like, share, a retweet, anything to help grow the podcast, that would be fantastic. Five-star reviews are always a great thing. Reviews on the actual podcast platforms itself, always fantastic to read too. We want to try and get to as many coaches as we possibly can with this. Always helps if we say, hey, go and listen to the Talking Split podcast, and they can do it and see all these great reviews as well. So we do appreciate the coaches that have spent the time to leave us something there in that space as well. What we are getting into today is really the first step of our book club in particular. So really fortunate to have a fantastic guest on the pod this week, JP Newburn, who is the author of The Sports Parent Solution, which is a fantastic read for coaches out there that can at least help stem a little bit of the anxiety around the parent-coach relationship in particular and where it flows into with dealing with players as well. So it's a fantastic listen. JP speaks just so well in this space. He's a fantastic resource for coaches out there. You can obviously get a hold of him. He'll put all his details in the podcast towards the end of it, and I'll put it in the podcast description as well. So if you are looking to hear a little bit more of JP, or if you're looking to purchase the book as well, which I cannot recommend highly enough, it's a brilliant resource for coaches out there. All the details will be there if you need it. But without any further ado, we'll jump into the interview with JP Newburn. As I mentioned earlier, coaches, really fortunate to have best-selling author, leadership coach, and founder of one of my favorite weekly email newsletters, the TOC Culture Consulting, on the podcast this week. New book coming out titled The Sports Parent Solution. A huge welcome to JP Newburn. Welcome to the show.
Hey, appreciate the opportunity to be here.
It's fantastic. So for those of you that may not have subscribed to the newsletter or know a huge amount about you, can you just give us a little bit of a brief history for yourself in basketball and coaching in particular?
Yeah, I grew up playing basketball in the States, and my top level I reached was Division I NCAA, playing for the University of South Carolina. After that journey ended, I went to Ireland and was finishing out my degree there in physical education, and also got into coaching basketball in Ireland. And, you know, you play Division I and you're American and you put your hands up and say you want to coach basketball, and all of a sudden you have like 5-6 jobs in like a month, you know? And so I had this really unique thing where I would like coach 5 or 6 teams in a season and just, you know, space out the practices. And I just really, for about 5 years, was just all about it. But, you know, primarily was coaching, you know, high school aged young men. Did a little pro stint, you know, I mean, did it all. You know, I had this really unique experience in coaching. Moved back to the States and coached another 5 years there. During that time, hit a bit of a leadership crisis and really was struggling with the culture of the team. Like a lot of coaches, I had some great cultures before, and I had some ones where I was like, man, we just haven't really come together here. I had spent trying to be really more intentional and trying to, how do I shape that culture? And every year I felt like I tried something new or something different. You know, a few team activities, and you hope it works. And it's kind of a roll of the dice. At a certain point, I got kind of a little bit frustrated with that, and I actually hired a mentor coach to work with me to build a culture. And little did I realize that it started with me, and so I actually had to do a lot of personal reflection and changes in my own coaching and my own leadership and how I showed up. And then once I made those changes, I could start to effectively build a culture. And since that, you know, last 7 years, I've studied culture, organizational culture, team culture, and a little bit of leadership outside of sports. I've spent a lot of time studying it and learning other people's tools, systems, and strategies, and then trying to develop stuff that works for the everyday coach, the high school coach, the youth coach, things that can help them to deliver a consistent culture. So the first part of my job these days is that of a culture consultant, you know, developing these tools, systems, strategies, and helping leaders implement that from youth level to international level. I work with some international teams in the States. That, you know, will compete in the Olympics here coming up shortly. So I also do coaching. You know, that's a bit of a different hat at times to wear. I wear both hats for the coaches and clients I serve. And that's just kind of walking the journey with them, helping them to take different perspectives, asking great questions, because so often the coach is the expert on their own themselves and their team. And so I'm just trying to come there and just be a support and get, help them take those different perspectives that that are so necessary when we're so sometimes in the heat of a season. So yeah, that's a little bit about what I do.
Yeah, awesome. One, sounds like an incredibly interesting role, but I'm sort of curious in that that journey, I suppose, from player to coach in particular. When you think about where you came from as a player, is that a reflection of how you began coaching? Did you have the same sort of mannerisms, traits, sort of skill knowledge that you were taking from that playing background into your coaching, or did you come in with it just a completely clean slate, so to speak, with your own way of doing things?
Yeah, there's a few things I think I carried from playing into coaching. I would say two big things. One is my personality, my passion, my fire for the game just came. And so that was a little bit strong for a lot of the Irish people. And I think over time, they kind of dampened that enthusiasm, charisma down a little bit because that just doesn't fly over in Ireland. You know, they're a little dry and sarcastic as a culture. But my passion came through, and it led to a lot of my success, you know, my work ethic and that energy, especially on the sidelines, just, I was all fired up, you know, also led to a lot of technicals, you know, a lot of technicals. So, but the other aspect that I actually brought was a little bit of just some of the trauma that I had endured as a, you know, high school athlete. I had suffered an emotionally abusive coach that was removed, fired, let go 2 years after I had moved on. It was, you know, I was playing in the Bobby Knight era, just after Bobby Knight had kind of gotten fired because of his, you know, behavior with his athletes. And the change was starting to come where like coaches were being more held accountable, but just didn't come fast enough, sadly, for me and my situation. And yeah. So that, you know, a lot of that, just the, you know, we coach the way we were coached, we parent the way we were parented, and not that I was, you know, to that point emotionally abusive, but I could definitely be really, really hard and tough. And when it came to like disciplining and sometimes motivating, I would sometimes resort to what I knew, like, how do you discipline? Well, you yell at kids and you make them run. So that took a lot of time to untrain some of those behaviors, you know?
Yeah, I'm sitting here laughing because I think every coach has probably gone through that here in Australia as well, where we've all learned from the era of three-player weaves, and if you miss, you go back to the start and you do it again, and, you know, it's 17 in a minute, those types of things. And that was kind of the way we were brought up, and I think a lot of coaches have fallen into that trap a little bit of, well, this is how it worked for me when I was a junior player, this is what I'm going to be like as a junior coach. And it can be a really daunting task to jump into that coaching space. And of course, you default to what you know in that area as well. And if you don't know any different, then why would you be any different in that space?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's so much of those early experiences shape us as coaches. And it's up to us to do the work to say, not necessarily say, well, that was bad or that was good. You know, in my case, I'll gladly say, or quickly say, that the way that I was coached was bad, right? It was not the way that young people should be treated, or anybody and should be treated in any field. But for others, you know, we're always just constantly, the question I'm asking is there a better way? And to me, there's always a better way. You know, and I'm striving as a coach for two things. I'm striving to really be the best coach that I can be with what I know. And that's there's a gap in that. Like, I know what great coaching is here, but I'm only right here and I'm striving towards that. But I'm also, what that great coaching looks like is also expanding and growing on my journey. And so that makes it a little bit more complicated. I don't know if that makes sense.
It makes perfect sense. And it's a little bit of a light bulb moment for me too, of course, in that we're always trying to get coaches to grow. And I think we talk about it a lot with our junior athletes now, that they are a different athlete than what they were 10 to 15 years ago. And in that junior space, like, we've seen it. You know, I think every coach has probably witnessed the coach that sort of rants and raves and screams and yells and those types of things. And we just know our kids don't respond to that well anymore. Or you might get one athlete out of 50 or 100 that responds really well to that. But the vast majority, that's not what they're playing youth sport for, and that's not really what they're about in that world. So trying to find ways for coaches to communicate and be better in that space to make it a safe and welcoming environment for players where they can sort of thrive and flourish, that's really what it's about. But it's sort of thinking a little bit outside of what you know and into a space that might be a little bit uncomfortable.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Well, the reason we have you on the podcast today is your new book, The Sports Parent Solution, which is a fascinating read. And I know talking to a lot of coaches around the traps in Australia in particular, one of the biggest problems they have, and they say it is exactly that, a big problem that they have, are the parents and how to work with them and what it can potentially look like. Where are the low-hanging fruit almost, the things that we can get really right with our parent groups of the players that we coach to make it a better environment? Because we all know that when the parents are invested and when they're bought into what you're doing, your job as the coach has become so much easier in that space. So what really got you motivated, I suppose, to write this book for coaches?
A lot of painful experiences, for one, you know, and a lot of frustrations, not just for me, but as in my work walking with coaches, this has become a bigger and bigger challenge. And when the parent relationship doesn't go well, or we don't create that right environment with the parents where they're kind of bought in, like you said, it creates so many problems downstream. And so in my previous book, The Culture System, that I published in 2022, you know, I had been, when I was writing that book, I was laying out this framework for how to build culture. And, you know, it really, as I was writing, there was so much content on parents. I said, I just need to put this off the side here and write a different book. And so, I mean, it's the same format. It's kind of a sequel to the last book. It's just here's the framework and how we apply it to parents. I was accelerated in writing this for two reasons. One is we're just seeing incredible results with the parents. And when we get the parents engaged, the impact on the athlete experience, the team's performance, and just some amazing stories around just even supporting the athlete and their mental health is just profound. The other reason was because around the time I published The Culture System, I got a text from a parent that I had referred to in my book, The Culture System, that had actually, you know, was someone that I trusted and that was in my corner, and then just blew up on me over a discipline issue. And long story short, tried to run me off the road in their car and yell at me. It was just this crazy story. I mean, we've all got them, you know, but this parent out of the blue just texts me and just essentially saying, just so you know, I think, and this is 7-8 years after this incident, it's just like, you're the best coach my son ever had. I tell people that all the time, not just because of what you did for him, but because of your influence on me at a critical point in my journey as a parent. He's like, you helped me become a better parent in the way that you showed me how to discipline with respect and by being firm. That blew my mind. Like, I knew that I needed to write this book about sports parents because I knew that, hey, I really need the parents to be and bought into what I'm doing so I can have the impact and the influence I want the athlete. I never realized that I actually was influencing the parents. And so that was really profound for me.
And what a phenomenal compliment to get from a parent as well. Just so far removed from when, I think we've all probably experienced it as a coach, we get a compliment while we're still coaching the player. And you're never really too sure, is this coming from a great place? Is this coming from I'm trying to garner favor or anything like that? But what a fantastic message to receive years after the fact where you don't have that involvement with the player anymore. That's when you know you've had a real impact on someone, that they can reflect on that and say, look, this has been the work that you put in on reflection has really changed everything. Like, that's a phenomenal thing to get. How did that make you feel when you got that message?
I got super emotional. I actually got teary-eyed because that was a painful, painful time in my coaching journey. We were getting some frustrations with winning and losing. Like, we weren't winning as much as I was actually my most losing point in my career at that point. And, you know, my family is going through a tough time as far as my wife was moving jobs and, you know, she was pregnant with our second, and, you know, like, just the life experiences of a coach. Like, we've all been there. We're coaching and we're spread thin on the family side, and we don't feel like people are appreciating us, and we're going, what the heck am I doing? Why am I doing this for people that don't even give a crap, you know? And so to get that validation, I mean, I've had so much validation over the years from parents. And if I look at the athletes that I've had my biggest influence on, or I have my best relationship with, the parents aren't far away. They're usually involved, and I have relationships with them too. This was one where I thought, man, you know, I don't know if this guy ever appreciated anything I did. And it was was emotional for me. It was emotional for my wife. My wife became pretty emotional because she knew the story. So it just made me glad I didn't block his number, you know.
It makes perfect sense. And that, I mean, you hit on something really interesting there. Is a lot of the time as coaches, I feel like we do feel like we're underappreciated. We feel like we're doing the early morning starts, the late night finishes, the film session when we could be spending time with family or friends and those types of things. And a lot of times we sort of have this mentality of parents don't understand what it's like. They don't know what we go through as coaches in that space. I'm sort of curious, do we as coaches go about understanding what parents are going through on the other side of it, in particular some of the coaches that don't actually have children of their own at this point in their lives? How can they go about understanding what a parent would go through?
Get to know them. Get to know the other person. I think so often we build walls, we don't learn their names, we don't learn what they do outside of, you know, being a parent. And we all, you know, wear many different hats. Probably the toughest job we all have is being a parent. And so by just getting to know them, you learn certain things about them and you build that relationship. And it actually helps us set the stage for that partnership so that you can better, more effectively support the athlete. But also as things come up and challenges and conflicts come up later on, that you're better able to navigate, that you have built up some credibility. And you know, you end up finding out some really important things. I mean, back to that crazy dad story, you know, he had lost his job like a month before, is what I later learned from his son, and his wife had kicked him out of the house. And he was like in a low point of his life, right? Talking about low points. Like, I was in a low point. Doesn't excuse his behavior, but it makes me understand what was kind of going on and recognize that it really had nothing to do with me. It had all to do with him and the pain that he was experiencing. And I just became the brunt of it that morning, you know?
Yeah, it's a really poignant point you make there about just a little bit of understanding. Just the, because I know a lot of, I'll be perfectly honest, I've been absolutely guilty of this in the past as well, where it's been a case of, look, parents, drop your kids off, pick your kids up. But after that, I'm not super interested in the engagement and the talking in between, not realizing just how big a rift that can create. You've now got this sea, I suppose, of, just uncertainty. What are you about? What are you invested in? What's going on with this? And when there's no communication in that space, it's really hard not to fill the void with negativity or just questioning type mentality. So it's an area I think that as coaches we can probably do a lot better in.
Yeah, and if anybody's watched Ted Lasso, I always say it's a bit of channeling your inner Ted Lasso. I mean, I think people like appreciate Ted because he's goofy and the show and all that stuff. But what's most impressive about him is his respect for people and just recognizing that all people are different people. They all have different struggles and not, you know, just painting people as these villains, you know, and just being open and being curious and less judgmental.
Yeah. From my experience, I've had parents usually that sort of sit in the middle, but every now and again, you get different ends of the spectrum. You get the parents that are just not at all invested and not interested in what's going on. They're happy their child's playing sport, but they don't need the conversation and the constant reassurance. Or you get the ones that are just really too invested almost and can just be sort of the over-the-top helicopter parents. Have you seen any strategies with how to sort of navigate those waters for a lot of coaches out there?
Yeah, I mean, I think the parents that are not as engaged, I actually want to bring them in and engage them, you know, and I think for the parents that are a little bit over engaged, it's not just starting with boundaries and walls. It's bringing them in and building a relationship with them too. And some of my favorite things to do early in the season with my clients is to help them design what we call like parent experience days, where it could be a, like, you know, we might have your preseason meeting to lay out the vision, your values, your philosophy as a coach. Also your system as a coach. Hey, how are you going to live that out within your own coaching? How are you going to build relationships? How are you going to establish standards as a team? How are you going to enforce those standards? How are you going to develop leaders? You know, just everything that you do that's related to culture, you know, you might explain. You might even do an X's and O's clinic, you know, in that time. So we want some sort of meeting to kind of communicate things, but we also like to build relationships. And some of those are just doing your favorite team builders that you might do with your team. Like we do like speed dating, we do different question games with our athletes, and we just, hey, we'll just do that with the parents as well that day. The other big thing that we love to do is have a parent practice in that or around that time. And we bring the parents out there. And sometimes the parents are being coached by the athletes. Sometimes the coach actually has the parents, practicing with the athletes. It's just a normal session, or they shorten it down. Other times we have the parents kind of just going to do it like helping coach a little bit, and then also helping get in the drills. We just kind of like mix up. What we wanted them to do is, first off, just bring them together where they're having fun. Parents are getting to know the other kids, and they're getting to know the other parents. What this does is it helps them to build a relationship and a connection to the other people on the team and with the team. And so then they're more likely to be about the team. And sometimes those, parents that are withdrawn, it's just because they're only really focused on their own kid. And so we want, these parents to appreciate the other kids and want to be cheering for them. So it's a fun way to do that. It's always a lot of blast, and it's just a blast. And parents appreciate it. Kids really enjoy it, especially if they get to have some say in what their parents are doing and stuff like that. And it's just been really, really transformative. So early on, just when it comes to engaging the parents, I would try to organize some sort of parent event. We also do parent athlete coach conferences. Coaches do that in different ways. Just 10, 15-minute meetings where the athlete gets to articulate their goals, the areas they want to grow that season, what they're going to do. And then the coach can ask the parent, hey, what are some things that you're concerned about for your son or daughter going to the season? What would make it a great experience for them? What would make it a great experience for you as a parent? Outside of basketball, what are their greatest concerns for their child? So that's another opportunity to build relationships and start to engage parents in a healthy way.
Yeah, and I think it's a great idea. And we were talking about Jack Fleming before, that who we both know and is a Victorian coach that a lot of coaches out there would know. But I know we have Mother's Day falls on a Sunday here, sort of halfway through the season. And he's done it a couple of times with his junior teams where it's like, well, look, if we have to train on a Sunday morning rather than have this us versus them battle of, look, we need them at practice, but I know you want to be there for Mother's Day, it was bringing the parents and say, well, okay, jump on court, play a little bit of a sort of gimmicky scrimmage against each other. And it's just a nice way of getting everyone involved in that space. I know everyone, the boys that he had occasionally would roll their eyes and go, I can't believe my mum's doing this and she's out here and doing it. But it was a great way, and everyone laughed, enjoyed it. It just broke a lot of ice and a lot of tension in that space. And in particular, because it was, I think it's usually around about the midpoint of our season is where Mother's Day strikes. And that's usually when things, you know where you're at that stage. You know if you're going to have a good season, a middling out season, or it might be a bit of a struggle. It just takes a lot of pressure off. And I find that the families having to interact in that sort of space with the children in particular can be just a great way of getting people together. And it just removes barriers. No one feels like I need to be the best basketballer in the world here. They just sort of feel like, look, I'm just going to throw it out there and we'll see how it goes. And if it goes in, it goes in. If it doesn't, it doesn't. It's quite okay.
Yeah. And the more we can proactively do things like that build those relationships, or even just throughout the season, bring the parents into the team experience, just little glimmers, just be a part of a practice, especially if you do have a strong culture or you're very intentional in how you do things. I was talking to a coach the other day, a football coach, a soccer coach in England, and one thing that he was really struggling with getting parents to understand why he coaches the way he does, the games-based approach, why he asks a lot of questions and doesn't do a lot of dictating or yelling to the sideline. And so we started getting him to bring the parents into different experiences like the practice, post-game review session, just so they could see the young men on the team engage, answer these questions, do their own review, and not always be coach-led. And then the parents are like, wow, this is really awesome to see our young men kind of reflect and take more ownership of their experience and not just be completely coach directive. So helps them get an insight into your coaching for sure too.
Absolutely. And I think as coaches, as much as we may have all the right intentions, sometimes there will be tension that comes from things like whether it be the role clarity, whether it be playing time, wins and losses, all those sort of things. We all get hung up on them, whether we were aware of it or not. There are some obvious tensions in that space. How would you de-escalate a potential high conflict situation that you may have with a parent or in various things that can potentially avoid getting run over by the parent in the car on the way home?
Yeah, I think every coach, really should be working with their club administrators committee to make sure that, hey, this is our policy around how we'll deal with parents. A parent complaint comes to me or to the committee, or, like those types of things. There's parent behavior at games, a parent that's too rowdy, a parent that's sending coaches emails or text messages or leaving drunk voicemails. Those types of things we've had. That they're like, this is how we deal with, address these types of things. Like, this is how we're going to engage in it. So some rules of engagement. But typically, so I think a lot of times clubs need to take a bit of a firmer stance to protect coaches at times from some of these crazy parents. Like we had a coach with a client that I had as an athletic director, and the coach got absolutely destroyed in an email. And the athletic director just let the parent know, you've lost the privilege of watching your kid play for the rest of the season, and we will not meet with you because that's not how anybody's spoken to. So we need to have backing to just say, hey, here's some boundaries. But certain conflicts we need to really lean in and engage, and we need to have a hard conversation with. And my real recommendation for coaches is when you go into those high tension situations, be curious. Share, first off, what you're observing. Hey, I'm seeing this, or I'm noticing this. What do you think of that? What's true about that? I'm noticing at the games you seem to be really there. Like, what do you think about that? Or I notice every time your son comes out of the locker room after the game, you really get on him. That's if you're maybe calling the meeting. Sometimes the parent might be calling a meeting, and if you're the parent's calling a meeting, be curious too. Just start with a question of like, "Hey, what's going on? What's bothering you? What's got you really upset? I'm hearing that you're not happy in the stands and things like that." So start with questions. Really ask a lot of questions. When we're listening there, we want to summarize back what we're hearing. So I'm hearing this, 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 and you want to get that parent to say, "Yeah, that's right." And when that happens, they feel heard. Then we can move into the second thing, which is to share our perspective. Once again, this is what I'm seeing. This is what I'm observing. This is what we see in practice. This is why your son's or daughter's not playing because of these different factors. And then the last thing I think is really important in some of those high complex situations when everybody's had an opportunity to share their perspective is, maybe you're making some adjustments. A lot of times you're not, and you're not moving the player up in a lineup. He's not becoming a starter just because they complained. She's not going to, avoid the discipline issue just because the parents complained or had an issue. And so it's just like, listen, this is the way things are going to be moving forward. This is their role. This is the consequence for whatever behavioral issue we're addressing. What can we all do to support them through that? What can we do to support them in this role? So, is there anything else we can do as coaches to support them in that role? What can you do as parents? And so we're just trying to move forward together and back in partnership.
Is it, I think from my experience as well, it's been one of those areas where if you have a little bit of an inkling that there might be a problem with a parent as well, a lot of the times it's like, hey, I don't need the conflict today. I'll just leave that one be for a little bit, see if it sorts itself out. And usually one potentially upset parent tends to be two or three upset parents by the time you actually get around to dealing with it. And I know I've made that error in the past where I probably should have just dealt with it straight away and just found out exactly what the problem is and just dug a little bit deeper. And I think, you hit on it straight away, ask questions, find out exactly what area it's coming from, what the reason for the potential problem might be. Some of the areas it might be, do they have a basketball background? We were talking basketball specifically here, but do they have a basketball background where they actually might have some valid points on what they're seeing might actually be something that you as the coach have missed. If they have no basketball in background, but they come from potentially a business type background, or maybe there's some cohesion things that you've missed in there as well. So I think listening to their perspective on what they're seeing never hurts to make someone feel heard in that space. And then you can start working towards, well, okay, what's the outcome we need from this? And at the end of the day, the outcome is, look, even if you don't see eye to eye with the parent, as long as it's a healthy spot for the player to be in, we can all move in the right direction for it.
Yeah, and I think that what you talk about there, like there's so many times where my parent conflicts, I'm like, man, I just wish we had a conversation earlier before it got to this point, because this could have been solved a lot easier.
And coaches, don't shy away from it. It's one of those things where you'll get more respect from the parents by having that regular sort of check-in with them, but they'll certainly appreciate just a little bit of care that it's not just about the player, because I think when we coach the players, we do forget that they have this whole world that goes on around the sport as well. And for some of the players, the sport might be the most important thing, but in a lot of cases as well, they have a whole world that exists outside of the basketball in our sense. So just having that little bit of understanding as to what it is going to look like and where it can go for players is vital. And it's one of the things I think coaches talk about a lot is the car ride. And we obviously have that situation in Australia where you're potentially driving anywhere from 20 minutes up to maybe 2 hours to get to a game or your training session in particular. You play for your 60 to 90 minutes and then you have the car ride again. Is there anything you've done as a coach to help parents deal with the car ride in that space?
Yeah, I mean, I really feel bad for my clients in Canada who drive like sometimes 12 to 14 hours for a match, because I'm like, man, that must be a long car ride with some of their players and their parents, you know, because everything in Canada is so big and ice hockey is all over the place. So I really think, you know, the car ride is really just more of a symbol, a representation of a space that parents just constantly not giving the young person. What I love doing, and I'm about to go through a season of doing this in the States where I'll be traveling around and I'll be doing a lot of facilitations with teams, and we'll be bringing parents in. But I'll meet with the players and the parents, and I'll say, okay, athletes, what is it that you need from your parents this season to be successful? And I'll just allow the athletes to articulate their needs to the parents, and then also to the coaches. What do you need from your coaches to be successful? We get them to communicate that, be upfront and share those types of things. So that's one thing that we love to do, is just allow the athletes to articulate that. But by bringing them together in a collective, they get a little bit of a louder voice, and it helps a lot to allow the athletes to kind of set some standards for the parents. And I also ask the parents, you know, like, you know, we have conversations around what healthy sports parenting looks like. We always do an activity that's like it's like a stacking activity where they have like 10 different things: points scored, minutes played, championships won, memories, growth as a person, growth as a player. And they have to stack those things in order of importance based upon what society says. And then we have to restack it based upon what will matter 5-10 years from now. And it's always, you know, memories, the person they're becoming, that matters 5-10 years from now. And so, you know, it's just a simple redirect to say, hey, so let's keep the conversation about those things. Yeah. As parents, that's your focus. Let coaches worry about, you know, the helping them grow as the player and the points scored and winning the game and stuff like that. And so just a simple redirect that really helps them to reframe things for sure.
Absolutely. I remember talking to a coach not too long ago who was saying that their kids have grown up, but they grew up coaching them essentially. And they were recounting on the fact that they do have those 2-hour travel times and those types of things, but their comment was, well, I know my child better than I ever would have if I hadn't done these car rides with them. So in a lot of cases, it was just a really powerful moment in time where, yeah, they were playing a game in between, but there was a whole bunch of time on either end of it that they wouldn't necessarily get with their child normally, because they'd be out with friends or in their room doing something or studying or whatever the case may be. So they look back on that time in the car in particular as really valuable for them, because they understood their child a little bit better. And they were going through that, to be completely fair, in an era where there probably wasn't the same mobile phones, tablets, AirPods. There's a reasonable chance now that they could do a 4-hour car ride and not say a word because they've got the AirPods in all the way through on that, and they never converse. But I think part of that, I love the idea that you've put out there of have the parents, the coach, and the players in a room and really verbalize what they're going through and what they really want from each other in that space. Have you found that has actually improved some of the parent-player relationships as well, where they maybe didn't converse a lot prior to that, but now that's opened some doors for them?
This is probably one of the most things I'm most excited about within this book and its potential impact, because the feedback we're getting is, A, the athletes feel more supported. They're having a better experience. The team's performance, the team experience is better. We're having less cultural issues that are caused by parents. But the thing that probably excites me the most is the parents that are telling coaches, sports are bringing us closer together for the first time in a long time. They're helping families to reconnect, sometimes heal, right? There's been some, you know, you get like, we're doing this at the collegiate Division I level, some of these things. Okay. So, you know, 18, 19, 20, 21 year olds, sometimes they don't have the best relationships with their parents, and the stories of healing that come from that, and that what it actually does for the athlete and for the parent, is just incredible. You know, we had a college Division I lacrosse player who had struggled with mental health issues her entire career, and just walked in after one of the parent experience events. And, you know, we ran a whole parent day out there and was just in tears with the coach, of just like, I haven't felt this excited about a season in my entire life, because finally I actually feel like a real connection, and my dad's in my corner. And it's just like, we just sorted so much stuff out last night after the event and just had a great chat, you know? And so those stories, they excite me so much for the impact that some of these strategies can have.
And that is massive in itself. And you touch on it a little bit there, mental health in particular with a lot of our players, they're obviously a lot more aware of it than they probably have been, say, 20 years ago in the mental health space. And as coaches, you know, we're asking volunteer coaches essentially to be S&C coaches, mental health practitioners, conflict resolution and strategizing. Be great if they could teach them to shoot a basketball in there at some stage. And we also want them to have fun. Like, we're asking a lot of the coaches in that world. How would you recommend a coach go about having a conversation with a parent that might be a little bit difficult, things like mental health in particular? How would they approach that?
Yeah, I mean, we have some really early on conversations, or what are communication to parents, where instead of saying, hey, these are the conversations I won't have, which you can do that as well, we say, these are the conversations I want to have. And every coach needs to communicate something in that space. Mine are when you're sensing something going on with your child that causes concern for their, yeah, they might want to quit the sport, or they're struggling with mental health. When something's going on at home, family stuff, like people are sick, granny's sick, mom's sick, that would be helpful for me to know to support the athlete through a tough time. When I've done something as a coach that changes your opinion of me as a human being, like, you can think I'm a bad coach, but all of a sudden you're like, he's a bad person. Like, I can't believe he did that. Or like, hey, I want to know that. And really anything that's just bothering them for an extended period of time, those are conversations I want to have. Like, because I'm, just don't want them stewing in the stands, creating, you know, disrupting the culture and everything. So it's really important that we're creating those open lines of communication. And, you know, I had another college coach I worked with, a swimming coach, and she, you know, had an incident where a parent flew in, and because the child had communicated, the young adult had communicated that they were really struggling with mental health, and the parent shows up and explains why they're there that weekend. And the coach is like, I had no idea that that was going on. Like, I wish, you know, like, and this is a thing where, like, well, you know, we want the kids to feel safe, to be able to come to us, to talk to us about playing time issues, to talk to us about mental health issues. And we do a lot within the culture system framework that I, you know, help coaches implement to create that safety. But for whatever reason, certain athletes just don't feel safe to do that. They don't have the skills. And so rather than just say, well, that's on them, like, we need to try to bridge that gap and work with the parents to help that young person develop the safety and the skills to be able to communicate the things they're going through. And so, yeah, just early on, just creating those open lines of communication, I think, are huge. And then really, honestly, I don't think that coaches should be responsible for being mental health practitioners or something like that. I think we should just be, our responsibility is to be able to build a culture where people feel connected and where people feel respected and people feel valued. And if you can do that, you'll actually do more for their mental health than anything you could do or any other therapist can do. And there's a lot of research that actually backs that up, that more profound healing and regulating experience for young people is just to be a part of a culture, a connected place where they feel seen, known, loved, than to actually go through therapy in most cases.
Yeah, and there's a level of validation, I think, that a lot of players would probably get out of playing sport in particular, where they might have a big game or they play well against someone and all of a sudden they feel great, or they might have a bad night where just nothing goes well for them. Something sort of sparks something, and they can be in that really low, flat place as well. And it's that regular check-in. Sometimes it might be a case of the parents might just be busy in their own world where they haven't noticed something that you potentially do as the coach. And I don't think anyone's asking the coaches to solve that problem. More so is just make the parent aware of it in that world. And you know, if you're going to walk up straight away and say, "Hey, what's wrong with your child?" Be prepared for something coming back fairly volatile, I'd suggest, in that space from the parent. But if you walk up and say, "Look, I've noticed this, this, and this. Is there anything going on that I need to be aware of as the coach? Is there anything that I can help with along the way? Do you need us to lighten the load? Is it easier for you to miss a training session this week so you can deal with some things in the home life?" That can go a really long way to, again, getting a lot of credibility with the parents, because you're showing straight away you care about more than just the wins and losses. The scoreboards are nice, but they're not the be-all and end-all for coaches. And I think parents would actually appreciate taking the time to go and have a chat with them about that.
Yeah, and you talk about those regular check-ins and building that credibility. The thing that is probably the most profound thing that my coaches do during the season, we do a lot of really great stuff, but the coaches I work with do regular one-on-ones with their athletes, formal one-on-ones. It's every, some cases the full staff, it's like weekly. Sometimes it's every month. Sometimes it's every 6 weeks. But they're oftentimes reviewing their player development plans that are written out and have the athlete's goals, their areas of growth, the things that the athlete is committed to doing, and the way the coaches are going to support them. And it's got role clarity. We often share that with the parents. But the thing that I'm getting at here, the regular check-ins, is every time my coach, a coach that I work with, meets with an athlete, my challenge always to them is, formal or informal, even for the listeners here, if you just have a 5-minute chat or 3-minute chat with an athlete, just checking in on them, to message that parent, text, email, pick up the phone and call them, or you just see them when they're picking their kids up, whatever, for the younger ages, and just say, "Hey, I met with so-and-so today. We had a great conversation. I just really appreciate this about them. I love coaching them because of this." You know, go get specific in your affirmation. "You know, thanks for allowing me to coach your son or your daughter." And do that regularly. Or in other times you might, like you said, call them and say, "Hey, I'm a little concerned here, their behavior in practice, or this is an issue. What are you noticing at home? Or what do you think?" Like just, or sometimes maybe a discipline issue. And it's just like, "Hey, this happened. We're dealing with it. They're going to be sitting out tomorrow's game for the first half. Just so you know, that's what we're doing. We don't need you to do anything. We just want you to be aware of, so that the kid's not going home and change the narrative." But like these regular check-ins, we want them to be, first off, as many positives as we can. And then when it comes time to communicate something hard or difficult, the parents aren't just constantly on the defense, because every time we pick up, they get a text from coach, it's like, "Well, there's a problem, you know?"
Yeah, I laugh because I've been that coach at times where it's like, I know the parents are going to cringe a little bit when my name pops up on their phone with, "This is what's going on today," because I probably haven't been positive enough in that space. It has usually been a case of, "I'm going to check in when there is a problem, otherwise you won't hear from me" in that space. I'm sort of curious a little bit, because we are talking a lot about for volunteer coaches, be more accessible. And this obviously adds to the workload of a coach, but if it's done the correct way, it can actually lighten your load as a coach by the same token, because you're dealing with less problems in that space. Do you put any, I don't want to say barriers, but do you put any rules around when you can and can't be contacted, and when it's like, "No, this is my time now that you can't contact me on things"?
Yeah, I think there is just setting up personal boundaries for yourself. Like with my clients, I'm really always trying to say, "Hey, like you need to be putting your phone away at this point. You know, you're with your family. You're not," and just letting parents know, like, "Hey, I'm not going to be responsive and not get back to people at these points because I'm going to be with my family at those times." And I think, so it's just setting up some boundaries around your time. When it comes to the types of conversations, I'm not a big fan of, and I'm, and certain people, I'm never talking about playing time, I'm never talking about other kids. Like, I don't know. I always say, like, man, if that thing's really eating at them, and it's like, I'm just going to have that conversation because I don't want it to become a problem. That's just my own personal take on it. And what I would say is, saying you'll never talk about playing time, the crazy parent still is going to find a way to talk about it, or they're going to call a meeting to not talk about playing time, but really it's about playing time. Like, they find ways. So I haven't seen those things to be really effective working for coaches saying I won't talk about those things. What I do encourage, though, is the parent that becomes abusive to this open line of communication, that's always texting a coach, that's always calling a coach. Then it's a conversation on, hey, I really want you to feel like you can reach out to me. I really appreciate that. But there's a little bit of like this journey. It needs to be your son or your daughter. Like, it needs to be them walking the journey. And they need to be like, we need to pull back here so that I can continue just to do my job here. And so it's just setting up some boundaries there. And what some of those parents that are the over-engaged parent, and just like, I'm here if you need something, but not every game, not every minute, you know? And I think that's a big, big component of it. I think the other thing too, that I have written about before, that I think coaches really resonate with, and that I really have been proactive, is just like, hey, you don't need to contact me and tell me good job. I really don't need to hear that I've done a good job, because there's going to be a day where we're going to lose or I'm not going to play your kid. You're not going to think I did a good job. I just want thank you. Like, just a bit of appreciation. I'm really here. I'm really glad to be able to coach your kids, and I appreciate it, and I'm thankful for this opportunity. And I just, at the end of the day, like, I don't need a good job. I just need a thank you. And sometimes just even articulating like that type of communication is just really important. I think we do it with our, we try to do it with our athletes as well. You know, we want, at the end of practice, we try to teach the athletes to thank us, but also thank each other for their effort. And we try to thank the athletes for allowing us to coach them. So just trying to create a culture of gratitude, is probably like teaching what the kind of types of things to communicate. Cause I think sometimes parents are like, well, I don't know. Like, what do I want to say? I don't want to be seen as like sucking up to my kid's parent, my kid's coach, you know? So teaching them what to say, not just don't say these things, is also helpful.
I love that. It's a fantastic insight as to how you could potentially go about it. And I think an area too is potentially redirecting any questions that a parent might have through the child, and having the player getting used to having to converse with adults and have adult conversations about, look, if you're not happy with the playing time, or you're not happy with your role potentially, have the player come and talk to you about that, rather than it be the parent that almost ventriloquists some things through the player. I think that is a great way to grow players at the same time.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So just, I'm just really mindful of your time more than anything else. So JB, how do people get in touch with you? How do they get their hands on the Sports Parent Solution? Because I think it is genuinely such a massive resource for coaches, and one area that we can get right, I think, moving forward, that's going to make for a better experience for coaches, players, and parents.
Yeah, absolutely. You can go to tocculture.com. That's my website. I've got online courses there. One that just really is like a certification course for coaches. So some of clubs and schools, they're just getting their coaches certified in kind of like a transformational coaching and culture building approach that I teach. And we're going to release a course on for sports parents as well this year. Kind of in conjunction with the release of my book. People can find that on this Amazon, the Sports Parent Solution. I heard it was the other day that it's shipping within 24 hours, you know, to your doorstep in Australia. So that's great. I do a lot of facilitation, and I do one-on-one coaching, as I mentioned there, and I have some clients there, but I'd love to, you know, get to Australia here in 2024. And I've had a few people reach out already. So trying to plan a trip there in the coming year. So would love to get around to some clubs to do some facilitation with parents and coaches, or just coaches on these topics, or coaches and teams. So
that'd be fantastic. And coaches, can't recommend it enough. I know we've spoken a little bit over the last couple of weeks about, we're going to start a little bit of a podcast book club, in particular about books that we've read and we feel like are a good read for coaches to get better at. And can't recommend it enough, the Sports Parent Solution. I've had a bit of a read. I'm still going through it. It was more pages than I anticipated it being, to be completely fair, which was great, because there's so much detail in there about things. And I think it's the same with every book. You start reading it, it's like, oh yeah, I made that mistake. I made that mistake too. And it's like, okay, great. So this is straight away something that, one, I'm not the only one, but two, there's some very real strategies in there that I genuinely believe can help for a better coach-player relationship, which will in turn only help the player. So coaches out there, if you are umming and ahhing about whether you have a read of this, cannot endorse it highly enough, please go on and grab a copy of this, because I really think it'll make a massive difference to our coaching environment in particular.
Yeah, I think it's the greatest obstacle potentially or challenge off for first teams. But if we can get this right, I think it can become the greatest accelerator for culture and the sporting environment that we're putting our kids in.
Absolutely. JP, can't thank you enough for jumping in. I know it's early where you're at, so I absolutely appreciate your time on this podcast, and good luck with your success. And if you are in Australia, by all means, sing out, and we'll try and get you into as many places as we possibly can, and get you face to face with as many coaches as we can too. But really appreciate your time.
Thank you.
Coaches, thank you so much for the listen on this week. There were so many takeaways from that interview with JP Nurburn. The notes I was writing down all the way through has got me hoping there might be a round two at some stage. And if he manages to get down to Australia, we'll certainly catch up with him again, because there are just so many valuable things. I think that as coaches, we know that parents are a big part of what we do in the space. Whilst we might be coaching the players, we still have to work with parents. And we're trying to shift the narrative a little bit from we have to deal with parents or parents are just there to we have to work better with the parents in that space. So it is something that we're trying to get better at as coaches. But big thanks, of course, to JB Nurburn for jumping into the podcast. That's it for us this week, coaches. We are back next week on the Talking Split podcast. We'll catch everyone then. Look, tune in and join the tribe on iTunes and Spotify.